A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Sanhedrin Daf Kuf, Sanhedrin 100A. Pagination is 199. We'll start on the facing page towards the bottom, five lines up, with the word apikoros towards the end of the line. So the word apikoros in common usage refers to a heretic, a person who denies Torah. But the word, as it's used in a more broad term as an expression, refers not just to someone who doesn't believe in Torah, but also in some cases to a person who lacks reverence to Torah and to the Torah system. Apikoros kigon man. The Gemara asks, give me an example of an apikoros, and of course of this broader term. Omar Rav Yosef kigon hani de amri, like those who say, mayahanu lon rabbonon, what good do the rabbis, the scholars, do for us? Lididhu karu, for themselves they study Tanakh. Lididhu tanu, for themselves they're studying the Mishnah with the Gemara. That concept, they're doing it for themselves. It doesn't help me. So that's considered apikoros. So, first of all, we discussed on Amud Aleph that they're supposed to teach. To the extent that people are willing to learn, they're supposed to teach. If not, at the bottom of Amud Aleph, we said that it's called Devar Hashem Boza, which we mentioned in yesterday's session. It's considered a disgrace if they don't teach. The entire Torah is Morasha Kihilas Yaakov, an inheritance to the entire congregation of Yaakov, and not one person's personal possession. So maybe these people didn't want to learn, so they didn't sense themselves gaining from Torah. But the Gemara continues and gives us a little bit more clarity as to what this problem of perception was that this person referred to as an apikoros was thinking that the rabbis don't do him any good through their study, through their being close to Torah and valuing Torah. Amale Abaye, Abaye said, I'm a galapanim batorah namihu. It's improper on another level, dechsiv, as the pasuk says, Hashem says, if not for my covenant of the day and night, I never would have created the heavens and earth. What is the covenant of day and night? That's referring to Torah, about which it is said, you should study it by day and by night. Which means that Torah is the justification for the world. It's the moral calling for which Hashem created the world with its free choice, with its human beings, in order to choose wisely. And the Torah is the very essence of that entire mission, that entire experience. Hashem says, if not for Torah, I wouldn't have created the world. And as such, HaMechadish B'tuva B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh V'Reishis, Hashem keeps creating the world, keeps breathing existence into it. It's only through Torah that Hashem does so. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, Mehocha namish maminei. We can also infer this from a different statement. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayera regarding Sodom, V'nasasi l'chal ha'makom ba'avuram. If there are a certain number of tzaddikim, then Hashem is willing to bear the load of wicked Sodom on behalf of those righteous people. And you see that a few people dedicated to the moral calling, to Torah, can enable benevolence on all the others. So the first pasuk was about Torah study, the covenant of Torah. And the second pasuk seems to be simply by being a righteous person, which is what Torah does, it creates benevolence, and they certainly did benefit from these rabbis. And to say, what do we gain, is an act of disrespect termed in our Gemara with the broader terminology of Apikoros. Ella, rather, if you want to get something that's a little bit more nuanced, that's not so against the very essence of our tradition, of Judaism, etc., if you want to get something that's a little bit more nuanced, that we don't have a clear pasuk, what in the world is the guy saying? Rabbis don't benefit us. What are you talking about? Kigon, de Yosef Kamei Rabbi, a student who is in front of his Rebbe, v'nafel le'shemaita beduchta achariti, and this topic was developed in a different encounter, v'omar, and the student says, hachi amrinan hasam, this is what we said over there, v'lo omar hachi amar mar, and he doesn't say, this is what the master said over there. There's supposed to be reverence. So the Marsha explains, even if the concept emerged as a result of the two, the Rebbe and the Talmud, dialoguing with each other, but when he recounts the Chiddush, when he recounts whatever it is that they came up with in their discussions, he's not supposed to say, this is what we achieved. He's supposed to switch it and create the impression that the Rebbe is the one who taught it, and if he didn't, it's an act of disrespect, which now we have a case, Apikoros, which is more nuanced than the original discussion, which was very straightforward psukim. What were you adding when you said, and an Apikoros? Okay. Rava Omar, Rava said, Kigon hani deve binyamin asya. An example of the problem that we're dealing with it here, that's called apikoros in the broader term, an act of disrespect, is the behavior of the house of Binyamin the doctor. Apparently, well-known person in their time, the Amri, and they used to say, this is the way of thinking that emanated from their house, they would say, Mayahani lan rabbanon, what good are the rabbis? May olam lo shoru lan urva v'lo asru lan yona. They never allowed a raven, and they never forbid a dove. And the Marsha points out that these two are classic, one for not being kosher, and the other for being kosher. And the attitude of this house of Binyamin the doctor is, why bother asking a shaila? The answers are always predictable. And so the Gemara continues, Rava, who made this statement and said their behavior is an example of this disrespect, when a question of treif came in front of him from their house, if indeed he found reason to allow it, Amaluhu, he made a point of telling them, Techezu, look, dekasharina lehu arva, I'm allowing for you a raven. In other words, this was a well-known expression. Everything's either a raven or a dove, and we never get anything novel from the rabbis. And Rava would respond to that balabatim-like kibitzing with a response whenever there was indeed a unpredicted ruling. And the same when he found that something was prohibited when it was anticipated to be permitted. Amaluhu, he would say, take a look, I'm forbidding a dove to you, playing on their expression. What's amazing about this Gemara is clearly from the fact that they were asking shailas, they were perhaps your typical balabatim, who are loyal to observant Judaism, but they have their comments. And Rava dealt with them, and while they had their comments, oh, it's always forbidden, permitted, I could paskin it myself, these people were saying, but Rava, in his greatness, certainly when it was forbidden, it was forbidden, it's permitted, it's permitted, but there were cases that it was totally unpredicted ruling, and that's when a person says, oh, I'm so glad I asked a shayla. Also interesting is that we don't get the impression that these people minded that he made something forbidden that was permitted. They are loyal, observant Jews. They're just complaining, Mayahana Rabbanan, what good do the rabbis do? It's predictable. And that's where Rava came in to make a point of when it was counterintuitive, when it was different than what they would think. I want to make another observation on the second line of the page, what we just did. The wording is, ki ava maisu terefasa, when they would bring a terefa to him. Now, it's not really a terefa. Teref means non-kosher. It hasn't been ruled on yet. It's something that they think will be teref. There's something they're thinking will be ruled as non-kosher. But right now, it's a little bit premature to call it treif. But that's an expression. That's the thing that's anticipated to be treif was brought in front of Rava, and in this case, he ruled differently. That concept we find in an expression, I believe it's the same idea. We have an expression by conversion, bo ger lehiskayer. A convert comes to convert. And people ask, I don't understand, he's not a convert yet. What do you mean, a convert comes to convert? A person comes to convert. What do you mean, a convert comes to convert? I've heard it suggested that perhaps many people that finally make it to the real Beis Din that's going to do an observant conversion, they've already converted numerous times under different circumstances, each time thinking that they finally made it, and later, as their observance increases, they find out that wasn't a real acceptance of Torah and mitzvahs, and they keep upgrading, so to speak, until at some point the expression is, the convert is coming to convert. It's an interesting pshat. But as you see here in the Gemara, the expression is the thing that's anticipated to become, whatever it is that it's anticipated to become. One additional quick thought in the Gemara where we're up to about seven lines down, Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says an example of this disrespect that's referred to by the word apikoros in its more general definition, kigon de Amar Hani Rabbonon. If a person were to say, those rabbis, as if we're not on the same team. Rav Papa Ishtali, Rav Papa once happened that he forgot himself, va'omar kigonhani rabbonon, and he used the expression, those rabbis, va'esiv betanisa, and he fasted as an act of atonement because of what he considered an act of disrespect to the rabbis. It's not those rabbis. It's our rabbis. We're on the same team. We're part of the same nation, valuing the same goals and values. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.